Rolling opened the program today. And then, well, it just disappears into the ether. 4:06, welcome in. It is the Todd Bromelkamp Show along with Alex Kuhn. I have poutine on my face today. It was great. It was going to be the best open to the show that we've ever had. And user error, my fault, it didn't get sent over and I didn't save it because, well, I automatically assumed that it was going to be there. So we're off and running. It's a great start today. It can only go up from here because we've got John Bonenkamp of the Burlington Hawkeyes set to join us at 4:30 tonight. Alex Kuhn, Olympic update number 9 tonight in the 5 o'clock hour. Iowa baseball play-by-play man Zach Mackey will be with us as well in hour number 2. Woodja is coming your way at 6 o'clock. We'll also hear from Iowa coach Fran McCaffrey, his post-game comments after last night's loss at the hands of the Minnesota Golden Gophers. I am telling you, Alex, the show open incorporated one of my all-time favorite movies, which, by the way, should you folks listening ever find yourself in a situation where it is life or death, perhaps a hostage situation, I don't know, and your captors are only going to allow you freedom if you can answer a trivia question, and that trivia question is, what is Todd's all-time favorite movie? Canadian Bacon, starring John Candy. It's not the greatest movie in the world, but it's between that and UHF with Weird Al Yankovic. I love both of them as if they were my children. Canadian Bacon, there was a clip from that movie. We had Hulk Hogan's entrance music. It was going to be just troll-tastic.
Oh.
And it went into the ether, just like Canada's hopes of winning a gold medal at curling and hockey.
I was just going to say, I'm as heartbroken as the Canadians women's hockey
USA,
team right now.
USA! This is what it took to get me to... I feel naked right now. I really do. I can't do the show without the open. And it's my fault. I screwed everything up. I'm all about taking ownership when you make a mistake. And this is my fault. I put 15 minutes worth of work into this, which is usually about 14 minutes and 40 seconds longer than I normally put into the open every day. And now, look, I feel like the Canadian hockey player last night who was so disgusted with the silver medal that she yanked it off her neck right away, which, by the way, I love the outrage there from people saying that was a terrible display of sportsmanship. If the Americans would have won the silver and an American would have done that, everybody would have applauded it. No one wants to win the silver. But because it's a Canadian, it's a minor crisis.
It makes no sense. Why? And we see this all the time. I think during the World Junior Championship, a Swedish player threw his medal into the stands, gave it as a souvenir to a fan.
Nice of them.
Be happy with a silver medal. No, they lost the game. You have to lose the game to get to the silver medal. And to work that hard and for a game to be that close and be that close to a gold medal and lose in a shootout, no one's going to be happy with a silver medal, especially on those two teams.
Great show for you today. The Hertin and Stocker text line I anticipate to be quite busy. 319-366-1600. What was there some sort of... We had a Canadian caller yesterday, and it wasn't Sonny in Iowa City.
I think it was Josh in Iowa
who
City.
Who may or may not be in hiding today. The Canadians who walk among us may have had to call in and take a personal health day because, look... The United States beats Canada in curling and hockey on the same day? That's Haley's Comet right there. That doesn't come around all that often.
No, it doesn't.
And I'm so glad that we've got this to talk about because I'm at the point where I feel like we're laboring to discuss Iowa basketball. And I found myself for the first time this year angry watching an Iowa basketball game. And you know why I was angry? because it was keeping me from turning over to watch the first period of the U.S.-Canadian women's hockey. The final 2 minutes of that game felt like they took an eternity. And you knew what the outcome was going to be. You just didn't know what the final score would be. And so I'm sitting there and just my blood starts to almost boil on the couch. And I'm almost to the point where I'm yelling at the TV, which is very unlike me. Just end the game. Get it over with so I can switch over and not feel too guilty about it. Many of you probably switched over to Olympic coverage when it was 22-2. 8 turnovers in the first 8 minutes. I don't want to gloss over for our Iowa State listeners, but the Cyclones lost last night as well, although it was a much more valiant effort against TCU. And unfortunately for Iowa State, they're going to, I laugh, I don't mean to, they're going to have 6 guys dressed for Saturday's game. Donovan Jackson's father's funeral is Saturday. He will not be with the team, Steve Prohm announced today. Maybe time to scout the intramural squad and have a couple guys in uniform as backups, just in case. But I keep going back to the Iowa-Minnesota game last night for 2 reasons. And I'm not making either one of these up. A, I hurt somebody's feelings last night.
And I saw that.
I feel bad about this. I really do. And so if you listen to the program yesterday, you know I had some pretty strong opinions. And I may or may not have called a group of people losers and said that they needed to get a life. And I thought when I saw this in my email box today, the subject to the email was just comment. And I thought, whoa, here it comes. This is going to be somebody who probably thinks that their son or daughter is a better player than probably got into it with a high school coach or something. And they're going to tell me no.
It wasn't?
It was. I'm going to read the email here. And I shared it on Twitter earlier today because this stuff really warms my heart. And I welcome criticism. But this to me, it warmed my heart because I needed a laugh today. I needed a good laugh today. Because a good friend growing up, a childhood friend, lost his sister today. She's been very ill her entire life. She was waiting for an organ transplant, and that day never came. And she passed away today, and I found out about that. And, well, my day wasn't going very well. And then I opened my email, and I got a laugh. So I want to thank this person who says that they're never listening to the show again, which is unfortunate because they're not going to hear me thank them. But I want to read the email here because it's about Iowa basketball. And again, yesterday, I said some pretty mean things, but it wasn't about Iowa basketball.
No,
I was calling many parents of high school and middle-aged children who get into shouting matches with their coaches and go to administrators and try to get coaches fired because their kids aren't getting enough playing. I called that entire group of human beings losers and said they needed to get a life.
And that's a pretty large group.
That didn't hurt anybody's feelings. If it did, they didn't reach out to me. But talking about the Iowa basketball team did. I used to listen to your afternoon show every day, but I am so disappointed and sick of your comments about my Iowa teams that I will no longer. I feel your job is to analyze and professionally critique Iowa sports, but what you're doing now is insulting and condescending.
What are you doing now? Okay.
Your comments, such as, does anybody care, talking about tonight's basketball game, and don't laugh when talking about Iowa's chances in the Big Ten tourney, show you to be mean-spirited and possessing the maturity of a 13-year-old. You don't deserve to be an Iowa fan, move to another state. Hashtag done listening to rubbish.
Hashtag on an email?
Hashtag on an email, which is...
Did it send you to a link?
If we were judging this on an Olympic scale, there would be creativity points for using a hashtag in an email. And
is it like a triple axel?
I thought about this long and hard, and I thought, man, what did I... Outside of saying that people probably didn't care about 2, 3, and 13 teams going at it last night, and Minnesota had lost 9 games in a row. Okay? That was a bad basketball game last night that you just, quite frankly, probably should have ignored. And then to sit and have to watch said basketball game.
Yeah.
8 turnovers in the first 8 minutes. Now, I did get a lot of people today saying, no, man, you are saying what the fans are thinking or feeling. If you're still to the point where you don't think it's okay to criticize this Iowa basketball team, I can't help you, okay? But the reason why yesterday, and when I said, who cares? Like, because yesterday was like the breaking point for me. I stared and stared and stared, and I said, I don't know if I can do this anymore. I don't know if I can and give this the passion that I need to, because it's just, you know the outcome. The season can't get over soon enough. No one will say it publicly. Fran McCaffrey, the players, they're not going to say it, but you know they're just going through the motions at this point. Oh. They just want this season to be over with. And so yesterday, I didn't know whether I could do it yesterday. And that's why I was like, yeah, who cares? Now you do, you obviously listen, and I do. I mean, it's my job to talk about Iowa basketball, but you all know it's Lucy Brown. It's watching Charlie run toward her, and she's got the football on the ground, and you all know the outcome, okay? Who's going to pull the football away from Charlie Brown this time? And last night, it was Minnesota.
Now, I think the other comment was the one that I found funny. What was it that you said don't laugh when we were discussing Iowa's chances in the Big Ten tournament?
Yes.
So are we supposed to say that it's likely that a team that's won 3 games in the Big Ten all year will win 4 games in 4 days?
And we went down the projected bracket, which would Iowa would most likely face, at least going into play last night. It was Rutgers. You'd have to win the first game
get
to Penn State, which swept Iowa during the regular season, and then likely Purdue. And kudos to the true believers, because you're the ones who go down with the ship. You're the ones history remembers. 319-366-1600. But to tell you how just absolutely absurd this season is, today, a friend of mine who is a sports writer, actually who has appeared on this show numerous times before, but does not cover the Hawkeyes, sent me a message on Twitter, a direct message, private, so no one else could see it. And it's too good not to talk about on the program here. And we'll get into the meats. I want to quote the email here specifically. I will analyze and professionally critique Iowa sports at the bottom of the hour with John Bonenkamp from the Burlington Hawkeye, but for now, indulge me. The question on the direct message, is Fran done after this season? ? To which I responded, I believe the kids would say, LOLOLOL, and then shared a link with one of the stories about the secret contract extension. And which, by the way, I know where fans are at right now, and I know where probably this particular person who emailed me is at. You have nothing to cling to except for the hope that this is a blip, that this is a one-year bump. And there's some talented freshmen coming in next year, Joe Wieskamp, Patrick McCaffrey. I don't see any hope on the horizon that this team is suddenly going to become lockdown defenders in the meantime, which to me gives me a little bit of reason for pause. And you never know who's going to leave the program or who's not going to stick around. And I know there's a ton of speculation about that out there on the internet. What if it doesn't turn around? What if it doesn't change? And then you've got this, I mean, the whole situation to me is absurd. You've got a massive contract for the coach, which was given to him in secret. And then you've got an athletic director who you can't criticize without feeling really guilty because, A, he's a nice guy, and B, he's not in perfect health. And so what do you do? But the situation is absurd to me. And you just have to cross your fingers right now and hope that next year is better, because this is Licklider level cratering. And that's what this team did. They cratered. And so you look last night, and it's a manifestation of the frustration of the entire season. And they're going to close things out Sunday at 6:30 against Northwestern. I mean, your weekends are pretty valuable, right, at this point?
Yes.
If
yes,
you're
they
going
are.
To Carver Hawkeye at 6:30 on a Sunday night to watch this team, then again, you are among the true believers.
I'm sure the person who emailed you will be there. But I have allowed myself to ask that same question, and nobody wants to ask the question that you just brought up, Todd.
What if it doesn't get better?
What if, like you said, that this isn't a blip and it's a sign of what this team is? Because last year, everybody was ready to move on from Peter Jock, and they were playing so well without him, and there were expectations, at least locally, for this team, and this season could not have gone any worse. I can't imagine things getting much worse than what we saw this season. And the thing that is striking is, like you talked about defensively, unless they improve drastically, I don't see how they can make that huge leap next year, because everybody's returning. Joe Wieskamp will be the big addition. We'll see what they do with junior college players or possibly a graduate transfer. But this is what they have, and it's going to be up to the coaching staff and to these young but not inexperienced players to make a big leap. So we have to go off of what we saw this year as opposed to last year, I think.
For the person who emailed me and isn't listening to the program right now, because she said, and it was a she, that was it blew my mind, okay? They did score, 63 points in the second half last night? So there's your silver lining. But the perception from people who are looking from the outside in is, he's done, right? No.
No, he's not.
People are unaware of what the circumstances are here.
No,
and
he's
so
there.
You cross your fingers and you hope that things are better next year with Joe Wieskamp. And maybe we'll get into this in depth in the coming days and weeks, because there's still one regular season game left. There's still the Big Ten tournament, which, by the way, Iowa will play February 28th. And so you ask, do they even play a game in March? Scott Docterman from the Land of 10 did some research as to when the last time Iowa's basketball season was over in February. And let's just say the answer will surprise you. 319-366-1600. We've got time to squeeze in a couple phone calls here. Do we have Al? Al in Iowa City. Al, go ahead.
Hey, I was just going to tell you guys that. When was the last time that Iowa did play in the month of March?
I mean,
the last game was in February, I should say.
I believe it was in the 1930s.
Ah, you're probably right. I did look that up. I couldn't remember what it was in the 30s, but yeah, you're correct.
Scott Docterman from the Land of 10 had the article today going back 80 years. 1939, the last time Iowa didn't play a basketball game in the month of March. So, and again, that's just a coincidence because of the way that the schedule falls. A day later, and Wednesday is March 1st. Okay, so that's a little bit of fun with numbers. You can sort of manipulate that into a bigger story than it actually is, but if they lose to Rutgers, most likely the opponent on the first day of the Big Ten tournament, then, yeah, they're done February 28th. And then we can start talking about do we see staff changes, which, as we've discussed on the program, you know, Fran's a loyal guy. What do you do? And I like all of those guys. I don't want to see anybody lose their job, but going into next season, coming off of this year, by making no changes and embracing the status quo is not the message you're going to want to send to your fans, except for the people who think everything is hunky-dory. 319-366-16. We'll take a quick timeout. We come back, we'll have our first Midwest One Bank Big Board update of the day. John Bonenkamp of the Burlington Hawkeye going to be with us coming up at the bottom of the hour. Iowa losing on the road last night to Minnesota. Now 3-14 in Big Ten play. Back with more after this.
Cedar Valley Entertainment presents Saturday, June 23rd, live at the U.S. Cellular Center in Cedar Rapids. T-Pain, Ja Rule, and Mike Jones. Tickets on sale now at the U.S. Cellular Center box office, Ticketmaster.com, or by calling 1-800-745-3000. T-Pain, Ja Rule, and Mike Jones at the U.S. Cellular Center, Saturday, June 23rd. Get your tickets now.
It's always more fun to be with friends as you cheer on your favorite team. Whether attending the game, watching at a bar, or hosting a party, it's very important to know that fans don't let fans drive drunk. Before choosing to drink, choose your team's MVP, a sober designated driver. Avoid the unsportsmanlike conduct of driving drunk by handing off your keys so that you, your passengers, and everyone on the road can be safe. Your team victory will only be worth celebrating if you and your friends make it home. This message is brought to you by the Iowa Department of Public Safety, the Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau, and your local law enforcement.
Each week, KGYM recognizes a local sports team for the win in the community. The Metro Spotlight is brought to you by Carpenters Union, Local 308 in Cedar Rapids and Local 1260 in Iowa City.
427, welcome back in. BJ and Marion, all of the regular texters on the Hurtine and Stocker text line, Ryan from Walford, Michael in Cedar Rapids. You guys are still listening. Thank you very much. We do appreciate that here. And somebody said they find me annoyingly condescending, but they do appreciate the fact that, hey, I'll take it, and chances are very good right now that when I pass away, that will be on my tombstone. I will make sure, I will leave instructions.
Shouldn't laugh about that, but
I will leave instructions that, you know what, that would make a really good epitaph.
Some very dark humor there.
He was annoyingly condescending. Here lies Todd Brommelkamp. 1980-hopefully sometime in the very, very, very far future. 428, Kyle's in the studio with us. He's got your first Midwest One Bank Big Board update, Midwest One, where you're the one.
The Iowa men were on the road with Minnesota last night, and because they went down by 20 in the first 9 minutes of the game, a 63-point second half wasn't good enough to get the win as they fell 86-82. The Hawkeyes now find themselves 3-14 in the Big Ten with just one game left, and a loss against Northwestern on Sunday would give them the worst conference record in program history. The last time they had only three wins was 1963, and they've never had 15 losses. The Iowa women, though, are picking up the slack. They won their sixth in a row last night over Rutgers in overtime, 77-67. They trailed by as many as 11 in the fourth quarter, but a Kathleen Doyle three tied it at 59 with just 9 seconds remaining, and the Hawkeyes dominated the overtime period. Chase Coley scored 20, but the story, as usual, was Megan Gustafson with 27 points and 14 rebounds. She leads the nation in scoring, and last night broke Iowa's 30-year-old single-season scoring record, as well as her own rebounding record from last season. Something to keep an eye on. If Michigan beats Maryland tonight, the Hawkeyes clinch a top-four seed in the Big Ten tourney and a double bye. Iowa State also lost last night, 89-83 to TCU. The Cyclones actually led at halftime, but with only seven players active, didn't have the depth to hold on. Donovan Jackson had a decent game with 27, but the Cyclones have now clinched last place in the Big 12. We're off at 6:45 tonight for a couple boys' sub-state finals. We'll have Solon hosting Fairfield on 106.3 FM, the South Gym, and Marion at West Delaware on 107.5 FM, the North Gym, and 1600 AM, the historic Main Gym.
Where do we go from here? The only answer to that is up, hopefully. We got a $30 gift card to La Cantina Mexican Bar and Grill we're going to be giving away. It's National Margarita Day. What a great day to be giving one of those away. Keep listening between now and 5 o'clock for your chance to win.
We're going to head to a bottom-of-the-hour SportsCenter update, which is brought to you by Steve Anderson and his team at Hawkeye Title and Settlement. They're celebrating 14 years of service.
Hi, I'm Steve Anderson. Since I grew up 10 minutes from Carver Hawkeye Arena, I've been obsessing over Iowa athletics since birth. Hawkeye teams stand for maximum effort on every play. We founded Hawkeye Title and Settlement Services on some of those same principles. Provide efficient, high-quality real estate title and closing services, whether you're buying or selling a commercial property or buying your first home. We'll also make it a pleasant and fun transaction. Hawkeye Title and Settlement Services, 568 Highway 1 West in Iowa City. The team you love, the people you trust.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. This is what you need to know. The NBA returns from its All-Star break. Among the six games on tonight's schedule, Cavaliers welcome the Wizards. Pre-game 7:30 Eastern, ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Washington trails Cleveland by a game and a half for the number 3 seed in the East. Kings rookie De'Aaron Fox out tonight against the Thunder due to pink eye. The Spurs preparing to play without their best player the rest of the season. Coach Greg Popovich has said he'd be surprised if Kawhi Leonard is back this year. The star forward medically cleared from a quads injury, but he's chosen not to return to the active roster. If Leonard stays with San Antonio, some fences need to be mended, according to ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski.
Do they look to move him? They're not there now, but I think over time here, there's got to be a repairing of a relationship that has undeniably been frayed. There's a tremendous amount of stress around the organization about the disconnect right now between the team and Kawhi Leonard.
Adrian Wojnarowski, golf. Tiger Woods is 4 off the lead at the Honda Classic.
Right now at Pizza Hut, get 50% off all menu-priced pizzas when you order online for a limited time. That's 50% off your favorites, like hand-tossed pepperoni, meat lovers, or even original pan supreme. But hurry, this deal ends soon. No one out-pizzas the Hut.
Why does Serena Williams choose Tempur-Pedic sleep?
For 10 years, my Tempur-Pedic has adapted to my weight and shape, relieving pressure points from head to toe. So I sleep deeply, but feel light, and wake up ready to perform.
This President's Day, save up to $600 on select adjustable mattress sets now through March 4th. Give your body pressure-relieving power with the brand ranked highest in customer satisfaction with mattresses by J.D. Power. Tempur-Pedic sleep is power. Go to Tempur-Pedic.com for product savings and find your exclusive retailer today.
Improve visibility and save $8 instantly when you replace your worn wiper blades with a pair of Bosch Icon wiper blades at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Get premium blades that ensure clear vision, plus earn double points on this purchase during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jay Farner from Quicken Loans. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.375%, APR 4.62%. But choosing the right mortgage lender involves so much more than just a rate. We've earned 12 J.D. Power Awards for client satisfaction. And we invented Rocket Mortgage, a simpler, hassle-free way to get a mortgage completely online. So choose Quicken Loans, America's number one online lender. Call 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Equal housing lender. NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030.
4:34, welcome back in. It is the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn here on all three KGYM frequencies until 6:45 tonight. Did we solve that particular mystery of life? We are off early tonight.
We are off at 6:45.
It's always great to ask that question 34 minutes into your show as opposed to, oh, I don't know, the minute that you walk in the door in the morning. Nothing like preparing to do two different versions of the show while on the air. I don't know what I would have done had you said, no, we're on till 7 o'clock, dude. I would have been like, okay, we'll find some more mean emails to read.
Well, I knew that we were going to be off at 6:45. There was another question as to whether we would be off on one frequency at 5:50, but we will not.
Yes.
We'll be on all
three
the entire way.
A clerical error that confused many of us in the office earlier today. Let's bring on a man who knows a thing or two about getting angry emails from people. John Bonenkamp of the Burlington Hawkeye. John, somebody doesn't like the fact that I pointed out that the Iowa basketball season's kind of a lost cause yesterday on the program. What's up?
Well, you need to be a better fan, I think, if I read that email correctly.
Yeah. Oh, you saw it on Twitter, yeah. And I leave the state. I need to move. Well.
Yeah, get out. Just get out. You know,
my getting out isn't going to make the Hawkeyes play defense any better. If it would, I'd go get a U-Haul right now. That's how much I love folks here in Eastern Iowa. If that's what it meant to make them happy, I would leave.
But you're just not a good fan.
Exactly. Well,
I've heard that before. I've heard that before from a lot of people. They say, "Why aren't you a fan?" I tell them I get paid the same way whether they win or lose. So.
And I would like to say this right now at 4:36, should anybody at the University of Iowa be listening, if you can pay competitively and you would like to make me an offer, then I will turn Hulk Hogan and go NWO and jump ship and change loyalties tomorrow. I follow the money. Look at me. I'm the captain now. That's what we'll say. John, last night's game, sort of encompassing the season in a nutshell, did it not? Iowa looks terrible early on, fights back into the game. You've got one or two guys that you wouldn't expect to put the team on their back. They do put the team on their back, and then ultimately they wind up falling short. That's this season in one game.
Well, pretty much. I mean, that start was as bad as I've seen this year, and yet, in the final seconds, you have a chance to win. And really, I mean, that just, like you said, it's what people have been, expecting all year, that this team would be, good. This team would win these kind of, would never be in these situations. And here we are. That's, we're however many games now into the season, and it's not going to get any better, and it's not going to, it's not going to change. So, yeah, it was exactly what this season's been like.
Now, John, we were sitting in the fantastic press box at Iowa City High on Saturday and discussing basically it's getting kind of interesting and difficult to talk and write about this team because the same things are plaguing this team over and over and over again. Do you think that the coaching staff and the players are kind of feeling that too, where they whatever they try to do, nothing seems to work?
Right. And I mean, it's, one of the things that over his time at Iowa that I've always appreciated about the job that Fran McCaffrey's done is he's always seemed to push the right buttons, found the right combinations, that sort of thing. And this year, for whatever reason, it seems like every button that gets pushed, either doesn't work or it works for a little while and it doesn't work. And I just think they're out of answers at this point. I think it's just, play the game, see what happens, try to play hard. Which, there have been times where it's felt like they haven't, and the players have even said that they've lacked intensity and that sort of thing. And I just think they're out of answers. And I like I said, it's just like us trying to talk about it. We're out of things to talk about sometimes with these guys.
Ryan Kreener had a good game last night. Let's discuss him for a moment. Where does he fit in next season?
It's one of those things they're going to get out of him what they're going to get out of him. He's shown in his two years there, the flashes of this is a guy that can contribute, give you good minutes, give them, what he did last night. And, that is going to be one of the things moving forward as we get into the off season. And, if there is any roster turnover, which, nothing's happened, I don't have any sort of inside knowledge. But, when they know what they have as they get into June, I think it's going to be everybody's going to have a shot here to show what they can do. Because I think, that's where this season's kind of gone. It's like, okay, who moving forward is going to do good things? And what he did last night is a good step for him. I think it's a sign that this is a guy that can play well if he gets the opportunity, and it's just a matter of getting that opportunity on a regular basis.
Now, John, let's talk about next year and the elephant in the room. Unless this team can improve drastically defensively, like they're giving up almost 79 points per game, if they can get it around 70, unless they can get it around 70, 71 points per game, is any other improvement that they make kind of moot as far as success is concerned next year?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the number one thing that should be the number one priority of the offseason is getting this team better defensively. And, you know, I was thinking back the other day, and I want to go back to the transcript from Media Day, and there was a point when Fran McCaffrey talked about the defense, and it was a question I asked, you know, how, you know, are they showing consistency on defense? And his basic answer, you know, at that time was no. You know, some days are better than others, he said, if I remember right. And, you know, here we are, you know, this point of the season, and, you know, not a lot of days are better than others. So, I mean, to me, that is the number one thing this offseason is they have to get better defensively. They have to get an identity. They have to want it. They have to get, you know, the mentality to play defense. Otherwise, yeah, you're right. No matter what sort of, you know, improvements happen, no matter what sort of buttons get pushed, you know, rotation-wise, things like that, isn't going to matter if you can't stop it.
John Bonenkamp with us from the Burlington Hawkeye as we look back on Iowa's loss on the road last night to Minnesota. Northwestern looming on the horizon Sunday at 6:30. Such an odd tip-off time, but you go with what the schedule makers give you.
Right.
What's your expectation for that game? Northwestern probably rivals Iowa among the most disappointing teams in the Big Ten this season.
Oh, yeah. I mean, by far. I mean, this was a team that was in the top 25 at the beginning of the year. And everybody thought, okay, this is a team that's going to go back to the NCAA tournament. This is a team that's, you know, going to do this, going to do that. And they have just been, you know, I mean, a lot like Iowa in the sense of being inconsistent, not, you know, living up to the expectations. I think for both teams, it's just a matter of, okay, set the tone for next week in New York. And because the last thing you want to do on Sunday night is go out and put out a clunker. And both of them have had plenty of those this year. So to me, Sunday night is about, okay, how can, you know, what can they do to get ready for next week? But yeah, it's one of those games where you kind of see who really wants to keep playing and who's just ready to be done. And, you know, it could be a really ugly game. It could be a lot of fun. You never know. So, you know, with these two teams, like I said right now, that you just don't know what you're going to get at this point because both of them have just been so inconsistent all year.
While we're talking about preseason expectations, I want you to go back to the preseason and what you thought about this team.
German All-Stars?
Which disappointing aspect of this team has really surprised you the most?
Wow, that's a good question. I would say in what we've been talking about, the defense. I just thought, and it's something Fran has said when asked about it, and it was something I thought with this team's size and with the length, they would be a very good defensive team. And it would be hard for teams to get the ball inside and do some of the things, and instead it's been completely the opposite. And, you know, it's like all that size and length doesn't mean anything if you're not guarding somebody. And to me, that's been the biggest disappointment. And you know, and there have been some individual players, and I don't want, you know, throw anybody on the bus, but there were some guys that I thought would really kind of step up. And you know, now they're a little bit older. Now they're going to be doing some things. And there's just hasn't been any consistency out. And, you know, so when you have that, when you have the no deep, you know, you're not playing defense when you've had, you know, the injury issues they've had, like with Nicholas Bayer at the beginning of the year and, you know, different things that have gone on. It's just been a season that just has never had any sort of cohesiveness. And Fran has talked about a disconnect. This team has felt disconnected from day one. And the fact that they haven't gotten it together, I can't explain. I really can't.
So we asked a rather disturbing question in the first 30 minutes of the program tonight, and I will ask it of you. What happens if nothing changes next year? If Joe Wieskamp and C.J. Frederick come in next season, but Iowa still isn't playing much defense, they're still disconnected, they're still losing games at an alarming rate, what happens?
I don't know. You know, I
that's not an acceptable answer.
Well, it's I, as being the wise owl, I should know this. I truly think that this team has to get the fans back. I think they have to get the interest back. And if we're sitting here next year and it's 13 and 18 or whatever, 12 and 18, you know, I think really everything just kind of goes off the rails at that point. So to me, that's why I think this off season is so important. And part of this is too, I one of the things if I would like to see is for this team to kind of get away from each other for a while. I mean, when you think about it, I mean, we watched them in the primetime league and then they go on their European trip and then, you know, we start practice and then, you know, and when we're hearing about them. And to me, it's like, I think these guys just got to get away from each other for a little while. And they need to come back with a resolve of this can't happen again. And that goes back to what I said earlier about the defense and the mindset. The defensive mindset has to be there. You know, that I've covered basketball for years, and the mentality has to be there next year that they have got to start stopping people. That's just bottom line.
Now let's talk about the offseason for a second, because Todd's brought this up a couple of times, wondering if there's a chance that we're going to see any changes this offseason. And I'll count transfers, I'll count incoming players, whether it's a junior college player or a graduate transfer or a coaching staff shakeups for Fran McCaffrey. Do you think there's a chance that we could see several changes to this team this offseason?
You know, after a season like this, anything's possible. I mean, you may have some guys that just say, you know, I can go somewhere else and play and do things. You know, roster changes are inevitable anymore in this sport. And like I said, I'm not saying I know because I really don't. But nothing surprises me anymore in this game. So if there are some roster changes and you can go get experienced players, whether it's a JUCO player or a graduate transfer that can give you defensive help, I think you have to look at that. Because again, the graduate transfers are out there. We know that. The JUCOs are out there. You can find kids at any position anywhere. It's just a matter of finding the right fit. Are there going to be changes on the coaching staff? I don't see that happening, but, you know, somebody might say, oh, hey, I want to go here and work. You know, this is a new opportunity for me or whatever. That can always happen. And when you have a season like this, all bets are off when April gets here. And so, you know, you don't know what could happen and you don't know where it could go. But, I mean, like I said, I think at some point the mindset has to be there that you can't have another season like this.
John Bonenkamp, the Burlington Hawkeye, we appreciate it as always. The end is
always
in sight, and before you know it, it'll be Midwest League Baseball season. As a matter of fact, I'm wearing a Burlington Bees t-shirt right now, Alex.
Did you do that on purpose?
I did not, because I didn't know we were going to have John on the show with us today.
How about that?
Yeah, the season's almost here. I mean, how many weeks to opening day? Is it, what, 5 or 6 maybe? So it's almost here.
I'd say about 6, and before you know it, those Dodgers are going to be disappointing in the NL West as well.
No, I don't think so. They'll win 105 games, so anyway.
John, we appreciate it. I will see you Sunday night at Carver Hawkeye Arena.
I'll be there. See you later, guys.
You, me, and 8,500 people, although the box score will say a lot more because of the season ticket sales.
I felt so bad for John because I mentioned last Saturday that I saw him at the City High game. He was covering Burlington. He had to go to the Iowa game and then go to the City High game against Burlington, and I'm pretty sure it was like 38-3 at the end of the first quarter.
That's a lot of bad basketball in one day.
Yes, it is.
I want to give you an insight into what we deal with here, because this is fascinating to me, because a lot of the listeners are on the same page with certain issues. And you get these texts throughout the course of a segment. Wow. And you go, okay, I know where people are at. I know what their minds are on. And then you automatically go, and there's a check valve in this business. And I've tried really hard ever since I came on the station here. This is now my third show. I know it's as hard for me to believe as it is for many of you. I always try to keep that check valve in place. And so some of the stuff that floats around on the internet, I don't feel comfortable bringing that to the forefront. I've heard, as many of you have, or more likely than not, many of you have read it. I have heard it. Speculation that player X or player Y is going to leave after this year, or they're going to transfer to this school. So Just to give you an idea of what we got, we get two texts within about 35, 40 seconds of one another. And one texter wants to know if player X is going to hang around. And 40 seconds later, another texter texts in and says, it just says player X to school Y, which is a rumor that is out there on the internet. But I don't know. Without getting into specific rumors, this could be a fantastically intriguing offseason for Iowa basketball.
I will say this, if those rumors are true, it's not going to be a fun offseason for Iowa basketball.
Oh, it's not going to be a fun offseason anyway.
No, I mean, it will be very unfun offseason for Iowa basketball.
I don't envy Fran McCaffrey one bit. And I think Fran is a really good coach. I think in men's college basketball, there are a lot of really good coaches. So I've always been of the opinion, these people that, you know, sort of canonized him. I didn't quite get that level of love right away. He's done some great things at Iowa. Where I sympathize with him is he is a loyal guy. And those three assistants that he have working underneath him have done nothing but represent the school in an extremely outstanding light. They've stayed out of trouble. They do everything above board, at least to my knowledge and the knowledge of everybody else who covers the program. And yet, I think something needs to change. And I think they need to sort of, I hate to use the term sacrificial lamb, but you have to make some sort of move that signals to your fan base that change is coming. And I think if there was a coach out there that was available that had a defensive reputation, a reputation as a defensive guru, I sort of think that you have to go in that direction at this point. Not that I'm mandating for anybody to lose their job. Again, I think all three assistants are great guys and good coaches, but you need to do something because the status quo is not going to get the job done next season. Just saying, well, another year of experience and we bring in Joe Wieskamp and C.J. Frederick. C.J. Frederick could wind up being another role player. And Joe Wieskamp, while a very good player, is an offensive specialist for the most part. I mean, his offense is much better than his defensive game from the people that I've taught. Would you agree?
Yes. I mean, he's a very good offensive player.
So you're making your strength...
He's also a freshman.
You're making your strength stronger, but you're not really addressing your primary weakness. And the only way, in my opinion, that you can do that, given the roster, the way that it's built right now, is either bring in a transfer... junior college guy, a transfer from elsewhere who's eligible to play right away as a graduate, and you got to have scholarships open up for that to take place, or you bring in a coach who tries to change the mindset of your team on the defensive side of the ball. It's going to be an extremely uneasy offseason for Iowa basketball until the defensive issue gets addressed. 319-366-1600, 454. You are minutes away, if you're listening to us right now on any of our three frequencies, from taking home a $30 gift card to La Cantina Mexican Bar and Grill. There are three locations, one in Marion, one in downtown Cedar Rapids. I just drove past it earlier today while I was out running some errands at lunch. Should have stopped in. It's National Margarita Day. Would have been a great day for lunch. Or the newest location, the Fountains off Edgewood. $30 to La Cantina. You can check out the menu online before you go, LaCantina319.com. Again, just minutes away from your chance to take home that $30 gift certificate. Back with more after this.
It's at the Home Show.
Looking for the latest products and services for your home and garden? Look no further than the 39th Annual Cedar Rapids Home and Builder Show, Friday, February 23rd through Sunday, February 25th at the Hawkeye Downs Expo Center in Cedar Rapids. Get lots of great ideas, consult with home improvement experts, and expand your knowledge as you visit exhibits and attend the seminars. Plus, Papa Balloon will be there making fun balloon creations for the kids.
At the Home Show!
The house of your dreams is just a home show away. So stop by the Cedar Rapids Home and Builders Show at the Hawkeye Downs Expo Center in Cedar Rapids. Show hours are 4 to 8 Friday, 10 to 6 Saturday, and noon to 5 Sunday. Admission is just $5 and children under 12 are free. So bring the whole family. Sponsored by the Greater Cedar Rapids Housing and Building Association.
Ideas to make your house a home.
Cedar Rapids Iowa City HelpWanted.com presents the world's worst boss. The one who posts jobs on huge national job sites, looking for anyone with a pulse. We'll just call him Dave.
Underlings, I'm sensing some tension between us lately, so I'm proposing a peace offering.
A peace offering?
Yes, by this time tomorrow, you are all expected to give me a peace offering. Gifts, cash, compliments, whatever.
What do we get out of it?
You get to keep working here, if your peace offering is deemed worthy.
Don't work for a Dave. Find a boss you can respect. One who's looking for great and local talent at Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
Welcome back in. Hour number one about to come to a close, but there are two things we need to do first. Both involve our producer, Kyle. He's here in the studio. First one, Midwest One Bank Big Board Update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
The Iowa men were on the road with Minnesota last night, and because they went down by 20 in the first 9 minutes of the game, a 63-point second half wasn't good enough to get the win as they fell 86-82. The Hawkeyes now find themselves 3-14 in the Big Ten with just one game left, and a loss against Northwestern on Sunday would give them the worst conference record in program history. Last time they had three wins was in 1963, and they've never had 15 losses. The Iowa women, though, are picking up the slack. They won their sixth in a row last night over Rutgers in overtime, 77-67. They trailed by as many as 11 in the fourth quarter, but a Kathleen Doyle three tied it at 59 with just 9 seconds remaining, and the Hawkeyes went on to dominate the overtime period. Chase Coley scored 20, but the story, as usual, was Megan Gustafson's 27 points and 14 rebounds. She leads the nation in scoring, and last night broke Iowa's 30-year-old single-season scoring record, as well as her own rebounding record from last season. Something to keep an eye on, if Michigan beats Maryland tonight, the Hawkeyes clinch a top-four seed in the Big Ten tourney and a double bye. Iowa State also lost last night, 89-83 to TCU. The Hawkeyes actually led it, or the Cyclones actually led at halftime, but with only seven players active, simply didn't have the depth to hold on. The Cyclones now clinch last place in the Big 12. We're off at 6:45 tonight for a couple boys' sub-state semifinals. We'll have Solon hosting Fairfield on 106.3 FM, the South Gym, and Marion at West Delaware on 107.5 FM, the North Gym, and 1600 AM, the Historic Main Gym.
All right, the other thing Kyle needs to do is answer the phone for caller number 6, 319-366-1600. You are the winner of tonight's $30 gift card to La Cantina Mexican Bar and Grill. 366-1600. We'll find out who our winner is as hour number 2 kicks off next.
Stuck in an expensive timeshare contract and feel like there's no way out?